Do you know him? Probably not. But this kid grew up to be one of the most popular mayors of a major American city, and what's more, a potential force in national politics as well. Henry Cisneros, mayor of San Antonio, is an interesting object lesson in the evolution of the American political process, especially interesting this election year, when both parties are trying to capture the 6.5 million potential votes in the Hispanic electorate. But back to Cisneros, who grew up to be a unique kind of Mexican-American, or more accurately, a Texan-Mexican-American, just like this landmark. The Alamo, that shrine to Texas independence from Mexico. But with General Santa Anna and his Mexican army lost forever on the field of battle a century and a half ago, Mexican culture has won by peaceful means here in the city that enshrines the Alamo. San Antonio may not be a Mexican city, but it's just about as Mexican-American as a city can be. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It wasn't always so. San Antonio used to be American-Mexican. That is, you went there for wonderful Mexican food without having to actually go to Mexico and suffer the risks of Santa Anna's revenge. For generations of young Americans went to San Antonio because the government sent them there. It has more military bases than just about any city anywhere. The Hispanic part of San Antonio was low pay, largely occupied in servicing tourists and the non-Hispanic establishment. But it seemed while no one was looking and San Antonio boomed its way into 10th place among American cities, a new breed of American took over San Antonio.
His Honor the Mayor, Henry G. Cisneros!
It is the way of politics and journalism that Henry Cisneros will always be described as San Antonio's first Hispanic mayor.
Señor Presidente, Cesar Chavez, oficiales de la Unión.
Cisneros would rather be known just as mayor, who comes as naturally to the job as any other man. Even more naturally, given that he's a trained professional in urban affairs.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 50th anniversary of the Black and White Ball.
Portrait of the mayor as urbane, sophisticated, unflappable. Portrait of the mayor still wet behind the ears. In the mid-60s, he was an Aggie, leader of the cadet corps at Texas A&M, with no other goal than to be an Air Force pilot. In 1967, the school sent him to attend a conference of students at West Point. The Aggie, never out of Texas before, was overwhelmed when he heard those Ivy League students discussing world affairs.
I remember even going up to one of them and saying, how do you know so much? How did you get to be like this? And he said, it's no problem. I read the New York Times every day from cover to cover.
You've learned since that that isn't the secret, right?
But it made very clear to me that there was more than the world, more to the world than what I had been exposed to up to that moment.
Did you feel like a hick?
Yeah, very much. I don't think I opened my mouth once at that entire conference. I mean, I really don't believe I said a word. I think I would have been scared to say a word. If someone would have asked me, well, why do you think that way after I'd said something, I just think I would have run away.
That conference introduced him to the hot subject of the 60s, urban affairs. He got over his fears and received a master's from Harvard and a PhD from George Washington University, and was made the youngest White House fellow ever by Richard Nixon. The Aggie was very much on the go. Just the kind of young man the Anglo establishment back in San Antonio was looking for in the early 70s, when the city's Hispanic majority was getting restless. In 74, with Anglo backing, Cisneros won a seat on the city council. He was only 26. In 1981, a candidate for mayor, and then last year he won again, this time with 93% of the vote. A true Tex-Mex, people's choice.
I don't think I ever doubted that we would be able to do a good job. I really frankly thought that the problems would be tougher than they've been. I mean, I really thought we were going to have some gut-wrenching choices every week.
That isn't the way it is.
It hasn't been that way at all.
Is there a little bit of the arrogance of youth in that, and saying, well, these jobs aren't as tough as
No, I don't think so. I'm very, very cognizant of the errors of hubris. And I really, really put a fine, fine governor, you know, on when everybody says, you know, things are going so well, we can't do wrong. That's the moment when you make mistakes.
So far, he's not been accused of making any major mistakes.
How are you?
It's a fairly slim tightrope he walks, keeping his Mexican-American political base content, as well as the old money Anglos. He pulls it off with great style.
First time I campaigned in 1975, she was running the poll over on Labor Street, right?
Oh, that's right. And, she's got a good memory.
It was on Labor Street, and you couldn't be for me, but you kind of were, right?
Tall, handsome.
Gracias.
Barely a trace of accent in either language.
Lo agradecemos mucho, de veras. Thank you.
How are you? Mayor, how are you?
He cuts quite a debonair figure. As you can imagine, anyone who got 93% of the vote for anything is someone whose dance card is always filled.
Walter Mondale knows San Antonio, and as a San Antonian, I think that's very important, because when he's president of the United States, we are going to tell him some more about San Antonio.
Cisneros' embrace of Mondale is more party loyalty than it is shared ideology with a liberal Democrat. The mayor may be the ethnic mayor of an ethnic town, but his message is not what you'd expect.
One of the things I think that you know, liberals in our country really haven't really dealt with is this. The lubricant in American society, the engine of upward mobility for minorities, is growth.
It's the kind of talk Republicans like to hear from Democrats. Get business in to help sort out urban America's problems. Enticing industry is a large part of a mayor's job these days, especially non-polluting industry. Cisneros finds the competition exciting.
I just can't tell you in words what it means to get an advanced computer company in the shadows of the downtown and adjacent to where the people live who work here.
Cisneros feels that just getting a piece of the high-tech pie in a town with a low-tech, underemployed workforce is far more effective than any government handout.
Of the 245 people, 250 people who work in that control data facility, 50 of them are women, welfare mothers, living in a housing project who never had a job before.
We have put together what I think is one of the most aggressive packages of overall incentives.
Is there a danger of becoming so beholden to a company or an industry that you find you really you're managing the city for this
well,
company?
You know, the role of mayor has changed from just fixing the streets and making sure there's enough police to really being the primary person responsible for the jobs base of the city. And that means that you need to be very, very pragmatic about dealing with businesses.
If you shy away from what might be considered the traditional minority agenda, is there not the danger of being perceived inside the Hispanic community, which is your base,
well, let me say,
as being someone who's sold out?
Well, let me say first that if it were not for education, for example, and the programs of the Great Society era, I probably wouldn't be able to be mayor today. The battlegrounds of the 60s were courtrooms, picket lines, and sometimes the streets. The battlegrounds of the 80s probably are going to be the loan officers at banks who determine whether small businesses get loans in central city areas, employment officers in corporate offices, at political leaders who determine the thrust of an education program. And so the battlegrounds have shifted.
The kind of talk that the chairman of the board likes to hear. So when the president went courting the Hispanic vote last year, what better man to seek out than Henry Cisneros? The Hispanics of the Southwest represent an enormous untapped electorate. In this election year, the tamale may be as potent a weapon in that region as the kosher hot dog is in the Northeast. A few months later, when the president was putting together his commission on Central America, Henry Cisneros seemed perfect for membership. He would give credence to the idea that the commission would be independent. But just before he was sworn in, he declared his own independence. He would not be the administration's House Hispanic.
What? All right, now I said I start with principles. I'm educable. Show me facts, show me things that'll change my mind. But don't believe that I'm coming in here to rubber stamp Reagan administration policy. Now, why did I come out as strongly as I did in opposition?
Some say a couple of reasons. Some you were criticized for that. Some
criticized
said, because you were using the commission to create or expand your own political base.
No. Criticized first by some for serving on the commission. People who said your service on the commission only legitimizes a commission that ought to be left to flounder because we don't want the Reagan administration to have a Central America policy that makes any sense. From the right came the criticism that I had jumped too fast in opposition.
When the commission finally issued its report in January, Cisneros did put his name to it, but dissented on 2 points, thus keeping his independence, yet proving he is educable. Does the administration exaggerate the Cuban and Soviet presence in that part of the world?
The administration does not exaggerate the Cuban presence in Nicaragua. It is significant and serious.
Henry Cisneros has come a long way from the San Antonio barrio where he was born, and yet he has not left it. He still lives there in his grandparents' home with his 2 daughters and his wife, Mary Alice, also a kid from the neighborhood. Do you ever have to sort him out and bring him down to earth and remind him that he's got a family and he's not the hero that everybody outside this house makes him out to be?
Yeah, right. There have been times, I guess, in the last a couple of weeks, in particular with the Central America Commission, which is a very important effort, I believe, and he's come in and not quite fit it through the doors morally, but I remind him that we wash his socks and we take care of him here at home, and so it takes that every once in a while for a wife to do.
Mary Alice has been very supportive. She could have wanted the things that many wives do, and I wouldn't be where I am if she had.
One reason's financial. She must work full-time as a private secretary. His only salary is $20,000 a year as a part-time college professor. The mayor's job pays nothing. Zero.
I wish that the office paid, but that was a device that was used before to keep poor people from participating in the government and basically keep it in the hands of those who could afford to do it in a noblesse oblige kind of way. Some of us have to make a sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice that I have chosen to make.
Despite such confessions of virtue, there are those who say that Henry Cisneros is running for reasons other than good health, that he just has too much going for him, brains, looks, experience, and savvy,
how you doing?
And of course, ambition, to be content with the common clay of the mayor's office. Is there life after City Hall? You're only 36 years old now. What do you really want to be when you grow up?
I have known for a long time that this is what I want to do. And let me just tell you, it's very few people who can say in their lives that what they train for and what they want to be doing is precisely what they're doing. Mayor is one of the few positions in American politics where you can actually get things done. I mean, a congressman really can't get things done. In addition, my own situation is such that I would like, at the end of some period of my life, to say, I really did something that was worthwhile. And when you stop and consider the odds that a 33-year-old young man with an academic background, Hispanic, could have been elected mayor of San Antonio, when the precedents before that were you had to be roughly in your 60s, a businessman, and certainly not a Hispanic. When you consider the odds that I could be where I am, that the people have given me the honor of being here, I'd be very presumptuous to be thinking about doing anything else.